Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed, and this particular episode is Cues of the Force. That is questions, but shorter. Cues of the Force. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsuck. So happy to be here to answer all the cues of the Force and of the galaxy.
Yeah, and I like how we just say cues. The A's are implied, but someday maybe we'll do a fun episode where we just ask questions and then just say, and moving on. No answers, just questions. For fun. Sometimes the way life is. But in this podcast, you get answers too. What a bonus. We also want to let you know that, as always, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are recommending Padawan by Kirsten White. It is an adventure of very young Obi-Wan Kenobi. I've only read the first few pages, but I enjoyed them, and I'm looking forward to diving in even more. If you want to give it a listen, you can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/forcecenter. One more time, audibletrial.com. Force Center, free audio book. I broke down like a robot there, Ken. Have you poked at the book Padawan at all?
I poked at it in the sense of I put it right there on my coffee table, and I looked at it and went, yep, going to read you next.
So Obi-Wan is just staring at you with those piercing eyes on the cover artwork.
He is. Young, beautiful Obi-Wan just staring back at me while I read Princess of the Scoundrel.
It really is like Obi-Wan is like, okay, I got my lightsaber ignited on this cover. I am staring through your soul. Make time for me. I understand you're reading about Han and Leia, but make time for me too. And we will. But for now, we're going to get into our cues, our questions. We go first to Twitter. And we take two questions from listeners there. We're going to Ethan Truman. Ethan has a wonderful conversation that we kind of talked around a little bit when we were discussing the great duels of Revenge of the Sith. But this is an opportunity to dive in. Ethan says, we as fans talk about Vader and Anakin as two people in times where Anakin comes through. I brush up against this because he's always Anakin. He's deluded himself into believing otherwise, but he's the same guy. Do we give him too much slack by saying, oh, that's Vader, not Anakin? This is really fun, really interesting. Ken, what's your big picture reaction to this? Are you in the general camp of like, they are the same person, or do you perceive that there's some reality where there are two different beings?
I think I'm part of the problem, Ethan. So I'll address it from that. No, I think this is a great point that forces me to think about kind of clarity in my own clarity in the discussion. I have been a big fan and I am a big user of Anakin versus Vader. This is the ultimate fight because it, to me, it's just a simple and direct way to show and kind of discuss the war going on inside him. And that's something I really attribute to the modern era of Star Wars. Not that this wasn't there before. Particularly at the end of Revenge of the Sith, but it just seems more clear since 2014. There's things like one of my favorite things is the I think that Chuck Wendig Vader annual had him going to the Petronaki Arena and having visions of his past. And it's just really clear. But yes, I want to be clear. It is the same person. And I personally never want them to seem any part of that discussion seem like an excuse for his actions at any point, right? Which is, I think, is what the great point of behind Ethan's question here or his comment of just like, hey, he did that stuff. And it's not like the Emperor or not like he kills the Emperor and then pulls off his mask and goes, whoa, finally. So sorry, that Vader guy was doing all that bad stuff. Did you see that guy? Not me, innocent of charges. But I just really do see it as a battle that we all have inside of us, the choice of light versus dark. And all the actions are mine, you know, but the steps I sometimes take in life fulfill the desires of a different version of me, both in good ways and bad ways. Sometimes hitting a stand-up stage, you have to meek Ken can't win. Performance Ken has to win. Like, you know, that's kind of what I've always gravitated towards it there. And I think final point for me here, Joseph, as we continue the discussion, I think perhaps Anakin himself has felt the weight of this. That maybe there was too many times that he wanted to make a better choice or change, but then he was like, I don't know, Vader got the jump on me, and what you gonna do? I lost this round. And I think, Ethan, that's another great part of this question that you have is maybe Anakin or maybe Vader, the different versions of him is fallen victim to this as well.
Yeah, no, I love these thoughts. And I really agree with Ethan. I think for myself, in my own definition, understanding, Vader and Anakin are one and the same. It is the same person making different choices. But I think there is a power in discussing it that way. I love what you said about meet Ken versus performance Ken. Like some of the reasons why I really like to perform is I sometimes just kind of like feel more fully myself the day after I perform, of just that like reminder of like, here's who I can be, you know? You know, performance is kind of a way to push past fear and to remind yourself of your own sort of vitality, your connection. There's a flow between you and other human beings. And like I sometimes, you know, say I feel more like fully myself after performing. And then, you know, the stresses of the world and the doubts and this not feeling as connected, you know, seep in. And, you know, I could give a name to that, you know, like you did with Meek and what was other Ken? Meek Ken.
Performance Ken. Yeah, basically, yeah. When I hit a stand-up stage, I'm often the awkward nerd from seventh grade who doesn't feel like he belongs. And that character wins a lot.
Yeah, and I think it is a normal thing that we all have some level of a public face and a private face, which, you know, usually when you say that, people are like, what mask are you wearing? But I think it's an agreement with us of like we are totally in this one space when we are alone or just like alone with our closest loved ones that we live with. And then we transform into the social version of ourselves, right? Extrovert, mm-hmm. introvert, you know, a little bit as normal, which that doesn't quite map on Vader and Anakin. Yeah. He's just being extrovert Anakin, you know, going around the galaxy and torturing people. That's not what I'm saying. I think to get back to the Star Wars of it, it's really fun to talk about that real life stuff and that our personal experiences with performance, because I think to me, it opens the door to understanding how somebody might kind of use it as a metaphor or use it as a coping mechanism to label different parts of themselves.
Yeah.
But I think we in the fandom end up talking about them like they're two different beings, right? Anakin won. Anakin came back when he threw Palpatine down the shaft, right? But I think for myself, the way I choose to interpret the stories is we as the audience talk about it a lot like that because we've heard the characters talk about it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Vader versus Anakin, we hear as a metaphor and we hear as a coping mechanism. I think specifically from Vader's perspective, it is a truth he clings to that, in my opinion, isn't true. I think Vader needs to say to himself, all those bad things that happened to Anakin, that wasn't my failure. I didn't fail. I was this weak, brainwashed Jedi named Anakin. He failed, and I destroyed that weak failure, and I am Vader, and I am strong, you know, and I didn't fail, and I won't fail, you know? So I think we hear that from Vader. We certainly have moments in live action shows going back to Return of the Jedi. That name no longer holds any meaning to me, to the recent Kenobi show where he's like, you know, I killed him. Really speaking as two different beings. The Rebels scene with Ahsoka, I really do like in the Thrawn novel where he, I believe it's the second one, Thrawn Alliances in the first Thrawn trilogy. Where we go back and forth between Anakin and Vader timeline, and Vader thinks through everything Anakin experienced. He has access to all those memories, but just refers to Anakin as the Jedi, right? He's just an other, you know? Mm-hmm. So he's really, in all this various storytelling of Vader, we can see that this is, it's not a metaphor. It's a coping mechanism to believe that they're two separate beings. But then also, I think a lot of our language around this comes from Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I think from Obi-Wan.
Yes, yes, yes.
I think it's a metaphor. I think it's a way to cope, right? I mean, this is how the whole what I told you is true from a certain point of view emerges is the discussion of is Luke's father alive? And I think Kenobi is talking more in terms of a metaphor. Why? Right. It's a way to express how completely and fundamentally changed Anakin has become by choosing the dark side, right? I think it's this way to say, like, he has made a choice that is so awful and so extreme and so his own choice, there's no getting through to him. I can't talk him out of being the person that he has made the choice to be. He has labeled himself Vader, and this person that I knew as Anakin, who I could maybe reason with, is not accessible to me. But I don't think it's from Kenobi's perspective that it is like they're two separate beings and poor innocent Anakin, you know, isn't responsible, right? I think it's a metaphor. It's a way to express someone who is once decent, loving, reachable has become totally unreachable. You cannot reason with them. And I think a lot of us sadly have experienced times in our lives where, you know, somebody we care about has made a choice and you know it's not a good choice for them. And there's nothing you can do. You can't reach them. They have to want to change, you know?
Yeah. Well said, indeed. And I think a lot of it does start with Kenobi. I was going to joke and blame him, but that's not fair. A lot of people blame Kenobi for too much, I think. But yeah, that conversation has been in the fandom for a long time, just kind of the way he viewed it, the way he explained it to Luke. I think it's really effective. You mentioned the Ahsoka moment in Rebels. That's when I talk about, like, the modern era. There's stuff there. There's stuff there in the Lords of the Sith, Paul S. Kemp's book, where I just kind of feel, and you're right. I think that some of Thrawn's best work actually is that Alliances novel, and just the way Vader felt the Force, felt everything, and just kind of dealt with, you said coping. I love that term of Vader failing to cope properly, I think, with what's going on inside him. All the way up to the Kenobi series, the finale. I think you're absolutely right. It all kind of tracks, and it's all the kind of the way you do it. But I think going back to Ethan's original point, I personally, because I feel I'm someone who says it a lot in bar conversations. Well, you know, there's a war going on inside him between Vader and doesn't make Anakin innocent of anything that Vader has done.
Yeah, and it isn't like a flip switch. He had one bad day, right? Mm-hmm. We get to spend lots of great time with Anakin in the Clone Wars animated series and even in, you know, Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, obviously, where we see that he has this great, great caring, this great kindness, this great desire to help people and to bond with people and to be empathetic to the clones and understand them. And we see all these wonderful traits, but we also can see how fear related to these wonderful traits can get him to slide toward this. So like there are a lot of Vader moments in Anakin, you know? And so for me, it really does become about Star Wars is about choices, about the choices you make are who you become. And, you know, Anakin makes these choices that cause himself to label himself as Vader. I think there's also another part of this is this storytelling that there's a general Jedi understanding that once you go down that dark side, you don't come back. I think we're seeing some playing with that in the understanding of that in the High Republic. It seems like the Jedi have an understanding of like, well, people make mistakes. And if you make a mistake and immediately go, I tapped into the dark side. That was wrong. I don't ever want to do that again. How can I heal? How can I rebuild? That's one thing. But if you're like, I declare I'm Sith, I'm in. The general Jedi perspective is that, well, there's no coming back for that. And that's kind of the story of the original trilogy where Luke has a level of hope and insight that maybe Yoda has, maybe Obi-Wan Kenobi has, maybe not. But they do say it multiple times in the Skywalker saga of like, no, Yoda says the boy you trained is gone, right? So we do hear this from Yoda as well, but I don't think it's, you know, Yoda doesn't say the boy you trained is locked inside the monster, you know?
Yeah.
To me, it is a dramatic, mythic way to speak about making a choice that is, you know, that you're unwilling to come back from.
Yeah. Yeah. Great purpose behind it. And we don't want to give him too much slack. So Anakin, no more slack.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is a really fun to talk through and think through. But yeah, I think we're on the same page as Ethan at the end of the day, not two separate beings. I think Darth Vader is just really bad choices. Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
I would like a Darth Vader action figure labeled that way.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Any other thoughts on that one, Ken?
No, great stuff. And I love, you know, sometimes when I first saw this question, I felt a little guilty. I was like, oh, maybe Ethan's talking to me. I've been doing this, but, you know, good to explain it. Good to get into it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. It is. All right. We are going to get into a question from Michael Gibbons. Michael asks on Twitter, if you had to choose, who do you think is the better villain, Vader or Palpatine? As a kid, I always found the Emperor scarier and now find him the more intriguing. But to me, Vader feels more nuanced. Ooh, the differences between Vader and Palpatine as villains. We're staying in the dark side. Ken, do you find yourself having a personal favorite? How do you differentiate them? Where do you go with this?
Man, I love thoughts on Vader round two. This would be a great debate if we were a debate show, right? Who's the better villain, Vader or Palpatine? Great question, Michael. So I'll answer directly. I think, and to your question, Joseph, do I have a favorite? Yeah, Palpatine. Palpatine's the better villain to me because he is the villain. That's all caps, the villain. And he serves such an important purpose in the Star Wars story. I think you and I always joke. We talk about Palpatine. We love Palpatine. We love his lines. We love Ian McDiarmid. But we're always kind of like, hey, you know, doesn't mean we hope we wish for the time that he defeated Rey and Kylo and won the day. We're not thinking about that. But I think he is a true villain. And I kind of agree with Michael's take on Vader being a little bit more nuanced. Just look at what we were discussing before. Vader was the villain, or maybe even the better villain in the 1980s, because he was the villain of the series. Palpatine shows up late in the game in the eighth inning to play some couple innings there. But I don't know if I've ever told you the story. There's one time in my my old church back in the 80s, the pastor spoke about Darth Vader and showed a shadowy image of his helmet to all the congregation to talk about society's obsession with the bad guys. Now, I don't know if that was right, but I was in the pews there going, cool, Darth Vader. But I think that's a little bit why George went back to tell the rest of the tale, right? That's a little bit of like, yeah, maybe you guys all missed the point. And so Vader remains a villainous character to me. See what we were just discussing about with Ethan's questions. But I do think the prequels helped serve George's kind of, hey, it's a tragedy vibe and how someone good can fall to the bad side. And I would have loved, actually that pastor to revisit his sermon in the mid 2000s after that whole story was told. But all that to say, I do stick with Sheev. He is evil and evil never wants to let go. And that's what he represents. And that's why I think he is, quote unquote, the better villain.
Yeah, no, I mean, the better villain, like, ultimately, yes, at the end of the day, because I think Palpatine is 100% committed. So if we're talking about villains in terms of who is, at the end of the day, the most villainous, Vader is a sad, tragic pawn who made bad choices of his own volition to become a pawn, not letting him off the hook. But he's a pawn who's been manipulated into making these horrible choices. Maybe that was true of Palpatine when he first joined the dark side. I know we have some kind of details with that in the old Darth Plagueis novel that's now Legends. But I love that both Vader and Palpatine show us different kinds of villainy, right? At this point in the story, Vader is really complex because we've seen the tragedy he's experienced, right? We've got to see him as a young kid. We've got to see him get all this great advice from his mom that he should have tried to really hold on to a little bit better, you know? Mm-hmm. But then we've seen, like, yeah, the Jedi aren't at their best. They aren't, you know, welcoming. They aren't warm. They make him feel isolated and alienated. They open the opportunity for Palpatine to manipulate him. We see how successful and skilled Palpatine is at manipulating him. So, you know, we can understand in his tragedy, right? While still holding him responsible for his choices. So there's like that one end of his life that we know. And then at the other end of his life, we know that he makes that better choice and sacrifices himself for Luke and for the galaxy, and that he dies wanting his daughter to know that he at least made one better choice at the end of his life, and that there was good in him, right? So then that automatically makes any of these many amazing stories that we see in the comic books, in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, in Rebels, anywhere in between, really fascinating, because it's like every moment with Vader is this, like, am I going to see a spark? You always talk about the Anakin's in there and there's a war, right? We just talked about this. But I think it makes him really compelling because you're always, you see him being awful, right? So awful, it's cool in a cool villain, wow, he's really powerful way. And then also this really sad, like, but it's sad that you are this way. You are a sad, lonely, trapped, haunted figure, you know? And can you come back from it?
Yeah, I don't think I was ever rooting for him to make great choices in the 80s, but I think once the whole story plays out, I'm always behind it now. I get it. And I don't, I keep going back to the original conversation. I know sometimes people can get held up a little bit on a lot of the horrible things that Vader did and everything, but I think the complete picture adds to that nuance and it absolutely changed. It absolutely worked. And you know, that's why it's fun to boo Palpatine still.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think we're talking around a lot of the Vader and the villainy stuff of like, I still enjoy seeing Vader be a really terrifying villain. I love to see him, you know, abuse his power because it is a fun space fantasy story. But I also just really enjoy Vader as a cautionary tale. And I think the thing for me, the line for villains is like, you shouldn't want to be them.
Yeah,
it's fine if they're cool. It's fine if you collect a million action figures, as far as I'm concerned, because otherwise I'd have a problem. It's just that crossing into, and they were right, and I want to be like that.
Then, yeah, yeah.
Then I think that's maybe would be frustrating for George Lucas to hear.
Yeah, I know when someone here, I want more Sith lore. I think that's great, but I you know, why, and what do you want it to add to the story? What do you want it to tell the story? To just one small example of it. But yeah, absolutely. And again, this is what George was like, I don't know, maybe y'all got it wrong. Let me go back and try something.
Yeah, let me get really clear with this shot of him looking on his horror as his mask seals him in, that this is not a fun way to be. Yeah, and I think Palpatine is, to me, he's equally complex, but in a completely different way, right? Because there isn't a sympathetic entry point to his story. I choose to believe that at some point he had some fear that he gave into, and he, you know, started his path on the dark side, and he never looked back. And he's not going to. But what I really love about Palpatine as a villain, and I've said this before, but just how he demonstrates the extremes, right? There's a part of his villainy, in particular in the prequel era, that is very real life evil, right? It is a rich, selfish, power hungry, manipulative liar, right? It's somebody who specifically tempts others by kind of whispering this poison that everybody is selfish and power hungry and out for themselves. You know, and if somebody tells you they care, they're lying. Everybody is playing the game. You're like, and that's a kind of real world cynicism that happens. And it's so what he uses on Anakin. Like, I loved his tone of voice in the opera box scene where he's like, Anakin, because it's so it's so the tone of voice where, like, you try to say, like, I really believe this person means what they say, and somebody's like, Joseph, no, they don't, you know. Maybe sometimes there is optimism or naivete or whatever, but it's that so that full perspective of, and there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing because I'm just doing it better. I'm just, everybody's awful. I'm just doing it better than everybody. What were you going
to
say?
No, I think I like the idea that there is some nuance to his evil, right? That he is the big bad. He's over the top. He's lightning sheath. But even in Return of the Jedi, just the way it's played, I think you're right. It's so evil because it's so real. What George is sitting down in the 70s to write a story of a, you know, post Nixon Vietnam era, right? He's like still playing with the realities of that. So I think you're right, and all the way up to the prequel stuff too. It continues to work. Even Rise of Skywalker, he's the biggest he is in all, you know, in on Exegol. But even then, like, oh, my granddaughter, this is gonna be great. Come on in here. Yeah, I think it's all.
Yeah, it still has to. Has to lie, yeah. My grandchild to come home. Like, oh, he's so scary. Yeah, and I think just in terms of enjoying the space fantasy of it, like, yeah, Vader, particularly when we didn't know his backstory when we grew up in the 80s, and, I guess we kind of knew some of it and got to see a little bit of Anakin's kind face there under the mask, but still a little bit of this mysterious, amazing, iconic figure. I just love that Palpatine is, like, yeah, a politician in fancy robes. And then ends up just the most, forget the space, pretty much just fantasy, right?
Yeah, totally.
Just an early Disney film, just a dark wizard in robes with danger fingers. That's so fascinating to me.
Danger fingers. Love that.
Love Palpatine's danger fingers. So not surprisingly, Michael, we like them both, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on Vader and Palpatine as villains?
No, I just need to add more figures to my collection of these wonderful, very warm characters.
Exactly. I need to get that Darth Vader figure that's labeled Darth Vader, the Dark Times. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with two questions from our patrons on Patreon.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
And we are back with more Cues of the Force. We go now to patron Michael McCarcel. Michael says, "Hello, Force Center friends. I don't have a question, but I'm in need of some good old Star Wars counseling. I'm tired of the fall of the Jedi. The Jedi and weird Force stuff are my favorite part of Star Wars. I absolutely understand and appreciate the importance of everything involved with the fall of the Jedi, but it's getting overwhelming. The prequels and the Clone Wars, the original trilogy era, all the way to the sequel era, all involve either their fall or dealing with the aftermath of it. When the High Republic was first announced, it seemed like a chance to have stories not so focused on the downfall of the Jedi, but as it's unfolded, it's been shown that we're seeing the beginning of the end. I'm loving the High Republic overall, but its focus on the further mistakes of the Jedi is just feeling like too much. I don't want to sound naive. I'm certain it was never all sunshine and rainbows, but there had to be a point at which things were far more right for the Jedi, a point when they were earning the trust and respect of the galaxy and becoming the guardians they were said to be. I'm hopeful that one day, the storytelling will go even further back and we'll see the focus shift to their rise. Thanks for putting up with my rambling, and I'm grateful for any advice you offer. Hope you're all doing well, and may the Force be with you." No rambling, Michael. You're making your point clearly and eloquently. Thank you so much for the fascinating question. Ken, where do you go with this?
Man, I love this. No, Michael is, he also is a regular on my music show where I've decided to call him Detective McCarcel because it just seems like what his name sounds like. I really feel this and I understand it. I love analyzing the fall, the long drawn out fall as it is, and a lot, especially the High Republic stuff. I think that's just where not only great life lessons to be found, but a little bit of the conflict that you might want to put into your stories and all that kind of, you know, technical storytelling stuff. But I'm all for it. But as time goes on, I get where Michael's coming from. I feel it. And honestly, this goes back to some, I'm going to underline some of the Last Jedi discussions. I think I want to be very clear. Not only I love that movie and love Luke in that movie, I think there's a lot of bad faith discussion around that movie still. And I think there's also some just misunderstanding of the bigger Star Wars story. But putting that on the shelf because, well, we've had years of that there. I do understand with some folks just maybe, I don't know if it's totally specific to Michael's thoughts here, but wanting the so-called good guys, not wanting to see them go through bad times. And that's not inherently bad to want that. Luke throws down the blade and returns a Jedi and then becomes a Jedi and the day is won. And now he's out there struggling and maybe not saving the day. I think there's great value to that again, but I understand the overall idea behind just wanting to maybe see a hero be a hero. I don't know. And then we follow that up with like High Republic. We spend a lot of time just kind of showing the bad side of these good people in the storytelling and other areas, the prequels as well. And I think, Joseph, that might lead to a gross misinterpretation of the storytelling, not for Michael, mm-hmm. but general Star Wars zeitgeist, the Jedi became, the Jedi become only what half the story is showing: pompous, presumptuous, dogmatic police, wizards sticking their noses in everyone's business. And this causes you and others and me to follow standing up and saying, we need some justice for the Jedi, right?
Yes.
So yeah, my final point. Sorry, I'll kick it back. I want to see the rise of the Jedi. Let's do it. Maybe just go back in time to do it. Let's see the ideas that began to build them be tested. Sure, but confirmed. Let's see how those beliefs and the tenets positively affect the galaxy, and even those around the Jedi in a more intimate storytelling fashion. Not just the Ahsokas or Luke later on, but I'm talking the Order itself. Here's what we believe. Here's why it's working, and here's why we're going to be it. I'd be for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that there is room to misinterpret, in my opinion, the role of the Jedi. I always think that the Jedi are trying very hard to reach a lofty goal, to find balance, to say we have this power and therefore we have a responsibility to use it to help people and to hold back unnatural darkness. But we also don't want to be grabbing for power. We don't want to be intervening where we don't feel like it is our place to intervene. So we're going to walk this fine, fine balance. They have this lofty goal. And when you have a really lofty goal like that, you're going to trip. And I think for me, what the High Republic is showing is that not only do the Jedi go through that as an organization, as an institution, but every individual Jedi is doing a tightrope walk at all times, trying to find their balance, trying to find their peace, trying to deal with their own anxieties, trying to forgive themselves for missteps, trying to recenter their relationship with their force in the galaxy and all those things. And that's what's really compelling to them about me, is they fall and they stumble, but they are always getting up and always striving to hit this lofty, perfect balance. And I would love to see more stories celebrating that. I love The Last Jedi, and I love The Rise of Skywalker, and in general, I am a fan of having a lighter touch and letting and trusting your audience, right? Mm-hmm. But The Last Jedi is really good at questioning the Jedi, and then comes up at the end heroically with Luke, reaffirming the Jedi by taking action and by, saying it as a positive thing that he will not be the last Jedi. Cut to Rey lifting those rocks to help other people, to be a symbol of hope. Last Jedi ends with kids who have no hope seeing the Jedi as a symbol of hope. And then Rise of Skywalker, Luke is, yes, of course the Jedi need to continue. And if you analyze the actions, it all tracks. So if one of their key goals is to be there when literal hate and anger is lashing out to consume the galaxy and to be the figure that stands between the hate and the rest of the galaxy, that's literally physically what Rey does. So it should be clear, but I wonder sometimes if a little bit more philosophy of the Jedi, a little bit more of Luke asserting that, hey, you stumbled, Rey, we all do on our path, but your heart is true. He does say that, but this is why the Jedi are needed, I think some more clear storytelling. And again, I think Rise of Skywalker is clear in the actions, but maybe it doesn't resonate for everybody. But some more storytelling that zeroed in on, let's reaffirm that the Jedi matter, and let's reaffirm moments where they shine and make a difference. That's my knee-jerk emotional reaction. I really agree. I really agree with Michael. And I really look for, within these stories of dealing with the fall of the Jedi and individual challenges of the Jedi, I really look for those moments of hope where they reconnect to their purpose. My big picture thing that I want to pitch back to you here, Ken, is I think some of this is caused by, we mostly have stories that are about eras. There are individual characters and individual Jedi that we follow in the stories of the eras, but the scope is, where are the Jedi at in this era? And I think you can pick any Jedi era, even like the depth of the Clone Wars. And if we had some more individual stories about this Jedi and their Padawan went to this place and made these people's lives so much better, and if we had a few more individual stories of Jedi triumph, I think it might address a little bit of what Michael's talking about, because we do have those stories in the High Republic, but the whole High Republic project is the Era.
Ooh, I love that pitch. I'm on board, and I understand what you're saying. Like, the Era thing, and maybe going back to what Michael was pitching too, when the High Republic comes out, just even the designs before the novels hit, it was like, ooh, the height of the power, right? Ooh, Jedi fired on all cylinders, and then it goes not a different direction. I think it really analyzes how we get to, you know, Phantom Menace from there, all those kind of things that I'm there for. I'm really behind complicated characters like Elzar Mann, who's trying to figure his way out through the galaxy. But I love what you're pitching, essentially, Joseph, if I may, just this idea of just, you know, breaking it down a little bit more. I don't, the idea that there could have been a, you know, creation of the Jedi kind of story back in the day. I go to that of just allowing to look at it on a smaller level, as well as the Order being established. That's a big thing, and that would be an Era thing. But who are the individuals that kind of, hey, you know, and I don't, is it just Prime Jedi, Jedi Prime there on, you know, Octo? Who was like, here's what I'm feeling, here's what's going on, here's what's working, and we can confirm this through fires, through challenges, but we come out on the other side better for it, and just have a different vibe to it, I think, maybe. If I'm being clear, trying to attach it to what Michael's saying.
Yeah, and I think by the end of the High Republic, I think we are definitely going to see, like, after this entire conflict with the Nile, an amount of cynicism and fear is going to sneak into the Jedi, and I think they're going to get a little bit more rigid and cling to their rules, and we're going to see how that leads into a little bit of the stagnation in being set in their ways that we see in the prequel era. I definitely think we're going that way. As we're looking at phase two has already kind of promised of like, wow, the Jedi upset some different cultures. So
yeah.
I am not in any way disagreeing with Michael that there's plenty in the High Republic that is forcing you to question the Jedi in a big picture. I'm also just really loving the High Republic because I feel like it's a snapshot of this is the Jedi at their height. And at any point in the Jedi, there's going to be an Elzar Mann who missteps and tries. And they're going to be, you know, people like Avar Chris, like that beginning, that light of the Jedi, like that's the Jedi at their height, right? Who come together to selflessly do something that seems impossible, but through their power, through their connection to their force, through their kindness, through their willingness to sacrifice, they're literally moving worlds almost, you know, to do the right thing. And I think that seeing so many Jedi all at once in the High Republic, even though I agree with Michael that there's definitely storytelling threads about the era that are about the overall decline or big picture mistakes. I love seeing that some Jedi are really struggling, making mistakes. And then some Jedi who have a ton of anxiety that they're going to screw up, don't screw up, right? They push past it. And I have such high hopes for it, kind of the younger Jedi, you know, Venestra, Reeth, Bell, some of my favorites who I feel like we're seeing have moments of just absolute, you know, triumph in a situation of saving people, or they are really tempted to give up or to, you know, give into their fear and they push past it. There are lots of those individual moments of triumph. And when I'm feeling like Michael is, I really try to focus on that. It's not, you know, not everything is defined by the big picture. The big picture certainly matters, but all the, you know, one-on-one choices, the one-on-one human interactions matter. And I think that's the other place I go with that of like, I love the High Republic that there are all these, you can point to all these moments of triumph, of justice for the Jedi. And I like looking at those moments in these stories. I feel like even though the Obi-Wan Kenobi television show happens in arguably one of the darkest points of the timeline, it is really about the triumphant return to Jedi values for Obi-Wan. Yeah. I think Rey's victory over her fear and anger in The Rise of Skywalker is a Jedi triumph. I really, really want stories of Luke's life and school in between the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy. Because I think, you know, Luke says, you know, and for a long time there was balance. Yeah. Anakin's spirit says to Rey, you know, restore the balance like I did. I think that there was many, many wonderful Jedi victories where Luke, Jedi Master Luke Skywalker, and his young trained Jedi made a difference and helped people. And I think it would be great to hear those stories.
Yeah, it absolutely would. And I love pointing out what is there, because I think it can be out there in that Star Wars fandom, that zeitgeist, that a lot of the conversations might center around what Luke said in Act 2 of Last Jedi, right? You and I always joke even off air, if like, did you finish watching the movie? And again, I always want to clarify, not talking to Michael or anyone asks these wonderful questions or prompts. We're just kind of looking into the general conversation. I think a lot of it is, yeah. The Jedi, even Luke said the Jedi should die. I'm like, did you get up from the theater and just walk out at that point?
Good, Luke. See ya.
See ya. That trailer said it. But even you see that with Kylo. Well, Last Jedi was about killing the past. Was it? Did you watch it? Or did you see the trailer and listen to some YouTube channels after that? So yeah, no, I think it's a great stuff. It gets me thinking about the Jedi and even how I used to joke with my friend back in 2002. Well, you know, the Jedi are the bad guy in the galaxy. Bad guys. That's not right. It's not the overall picture. They make mistakes. They are fallible, like all institutions, and that's part of the lesson there. So let's celebrate the victories and maybe highlight even more of those. Yeah.
Yeah. But I really agree with Michael. I would take some storytelling. I would love books, an animated show where it is Luke's Jedi Temple and some Jedi struggle. They stumble, they make mistakes, but in general, it's a story of heroes helping people. Because I think that is meant to be the idea of the Jedi. And I think a few more bits of storytelling where that is the sort of undeniable focus and result, I would be all for, much like Michael.
Yeah, love that.
All right, any other thoughts on that before we move on to our final question?
No, a lot of Jedi thoughts. Love it.
Okay, yeah, I could go on and on about the Jedi. I love the weird Force stuff too, Michael. But we're going to go now to a very fun question from Patrick McMullen. Patrick says, the more I rewatch the original trilogy, the more I realize R2 and 3PO have become my two favorite characters. One of my favorite Star Wars moments is R2 and 3PO arguing over Princess Leia's flooded Echo Base quarters on Hoth. The pair provide so many awesome moments on screen, but I love the idea of their droid shenanigans that we don't see. If I could fantasy HasLab anything, it would be a vintage collection playset of R2 and 3PO dealing with the flooded quarters. If anything was possible, what wacky, weird, wild action figure sets would you want? Thanks for all the great Force Center shows. Oh, Ken, I'm going to have to contain myself. What are your thoughts on the wacky, wild vintage collection playsets you might want?
Yeah, first of all, well, I'm going to go back a bit. Patrick, we would be having a great conversation if this was a hotel lobby bar. We would be laughing and joking because I love that little detail. I will say this, that little 3PR2 moment is actually one of the reasons Star Wars Ranked exists back in the day. I wanted to list Star Wars' biggest unanswered questions with a kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, fun kind of vibe. And this was going to be number one, which, by the way, Joseph, we have not done that episode. So maybe years later,
we will.
We'll finally do it. And my appreciation over the years has definitely grown with those droids. All the way to find Rise of Skywalker, like getting misty-eyed when 3PO gets so much to do and so much respect, particularly from Rey. So for the wacky and weird wild HasLab sets, I feel like I'm stealing one from yours, so I'm just going to say it quickly, and hopefully you can expand on it. The I call it the circus set from the Clone Wars, the circus performers, all that stuff, which is some of the stuff that initially I was like, I don't know if I love, but redoing the Clone Wars rewatch, I just love everything about it. It's so weird and wild, and I would support that. Ewoks on Brighttree Village cooking Han, like a detailed 6-inch scale Han on the spit. Luke trapped, all that stuff. You know, you'd have a row of our heroes on spits, Leia in the Ewok dress. You could do that scene. There's a Lego version of it, I think. You can get Brighttree Village. You can get the Ewok Village set in the Kenner days. But a detailed takes up all my living room set. Be there. So, and then I submit one other honorable mention, the Gamorrean Guard wrestling scene from Mando.
Ooh, that's a really good one. And the Mando stuff is so popular. That seems like a good prediction.
Prediction, right? And then talk about the taller, thinner fighting Gamorreans there. But my real answer, come on, it's Kenobi and Dexter in the diner. Do it, you cowards. Do it.
Oh, that would be absolutely great. It could come with a Hermione Bagua action figure, one of my treasured characters, because they're not weird.
Yeah. Waitress. Hey, look at that.
Just a diner waitress, straight up. Oh man, that would be great. Those are some absolutely great picks. I love this whole question, but I do love that exchange. It's one of those moments. Star Wars is full of them. I think Empire Strikes Back in particular is full of them. These just little moments that make your imagination fire And it's so fun to imagine Leia's quarters as an action figure playset that floods. Is this like one of those playsets in like the 90s and 2000s where you have like a goo that you can use to flood it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a way back. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple of them. This isn't it's kind of wacky and weird and wild, but it's my real answer of what I really want is the Sith Arena on Exegol. And I think it would you could either come with hundreds of cultist action figures, or those could be like little painted backdrop. But you got Empire hanging, the Emperor hanging from a hook. You got him with the restored. I used your life energy to make a cool robe costume. You got a Ben Solo. The bliss goes on and on with that one. Some sillier ones, though. That one is a little silly. But I would love Kenobi's cave and or hut. It could be his famous hut full of junk, but I would love Kenobi's cave, and it would come, of course, with Tika. It would come with the little toy T-16 Skyhopper, but most importantly, it would come with a work from home Kenobi with in depressed sitting action, that moment where he just sits there. Maybe you'd have like a little playset where you could put him on his bed, and then you could kind of like, there'd be a little screen that you could open before him that had like flashes of his bad dreams. You could just talk him through his bad dreams.
I love everything about that. You get Tika selling wares, slippers, Kenobi slippers maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. You get call to action bail, where he's there in person. He showed up and he's like, come on. A couple more, Padme's apartment. I'm just an epic playset, right? Because I'm just fascinated by the different sections of it, how we get to see so much of it in Attack of Clones and Revenge of the Sith. And then we spent a decent amount of time with it in the Clone Wars. So if you had Padme's apartment, you could have all sorts of different Padmes. You could have the little Kahoon creatures that attack her. You could have a shattering glass that you could throw Obi-Wan through. You could have, you know, the Anakin Padme on the balcony, hair combing scene figures. You could go to the Clone Wars and you could have a battle damaged Rush Clovis after Anakin beats him up.
Yes. Dark, but yes.
Who doesn't want battle damaged Rush Clovis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big one. And then my final two are performance based. I would love the Sanctuary, right? So many cool characters you could get in there, including my beloved Astromech drummer. But the sort of imagined space that we've never seen is I don't know what it looks like on the on Dryden Voss's yacht, the First Light there, but I bet Lilo Primock has a green room. Where he gets ready, and I would love to see that.
Because you could do it like there was like old playsets back in the day where like you could flip a little like dial and like you'd get, you know, the backstage and front stage type of front of the stage. So have him and the whole party scene, and then you flip it around and it's his dressing room.
Yeah, and Rodia Ventifoli, I believe, is singing compatriot. So man, so many options. This would also be a good rank someday. But great, very fun question, Patrick. I can't wait to see what the next actual HasLab is. Ken, any final thoughts on this one?
No more thoughts. I've yet to actually support a HasLab thing, because if I do, the end result is I get an item I can't fit into my storage or living room. So not there yet, but I absolutely would support any of these dream ones.
I have no idea what you're talking about, as I have to actively step around the Razor Crest in my living room on a day-to-day basis. I can't relate. Anyway, those are our questions. Thank you to everyone. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Michael and Ethan. If you are a listener on Twitter, you can go to our main Twitter page there. It is our pinned tweet to ask for questions, so you can offer them there. If you're a patron on Patreon, we have so many great questions. It's going to take us a while to get to them, but if you have new ones, feel free to add them, and we'll keep this post going for a while. And finally, we do have our Power of the Light Side segment that we do sometimes here on the Questions of the Force episode. If you are a patron on Patreon, there is a post, just scroll down a little bit, asking for Power of the Light Side submissions. It's just anything about Star Wars that you have that has helped you, that has been a positive moment, something you enjoy. It can be something fun and light. It can be something deep and real, whatever you want to share that's helped celebrate the power of the light side of Star Wars. Feel free to send in those submissions. Ken, where can people find us?
Hey, we are the Force Center Podcast feed. We can be found on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Our Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're also on Instagram and YouTube. Thanks to all those who watched our live Q&A episode. It's up. If you missed it, you can watch it over there. Podcasts available in a lot of different spots. Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and more. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. You can follow me at KatNapsok or go to my website, KatNapsok.com, to link to other things I do, like my music show, where Detective McCarcel is often in chat, rock and radio on Mixcloud. Joseph, where can they find and celebrate all your work?
Yeah. But before I talk about myself, I do just want to echo the YouTube thing, because I've been having so much fun doing the Q&As. You put out that great essay about Little Leia. We've got all of our episodes up to listen on YouTube. So we're kind of making a push to try to have a little bit more presence there. We still want to be broadcasters and record with our hair not done well in sweatpants. So we're not always going to be on YouTube, but we do want to spend a little bit more time there. And we want to really thank everybody who has watched those Q&As. And it really helps us to get more people liking, subscribing. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to encourage people to smash that subscribe button and really feel like a true content creator by saying, yes, smash that subscriber button.
Hit that bell, kids. Hit that bell.
Ding, ding, ding. And for myself, you can follow me on all the social media. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. And check out all of my other comedy adventures on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. In particular, if you'll be at the convention Convergence in Minneapolis, I got a bunch of different shows and panels, some Star Wars ones, but in particular, a new stand-up show I'm doing Friday night of the convention. So check that out. Full information on my website. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for that action play set of Leia's Echo Base Quarters, this has been Cues of the Force.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.